We're here today with Helen Clark, the administrator of the United Nations Development Programme since April 2009. Welcome, Ms. Clark, and thank you very much for talking to the Global Observatory.
Thank you.
We know that you are heading to Rio very soon for the UN Conference on Sustainable Development, the so-called Rio Plus 20. What do you foresee coming out of this conference in regard to creating more unified vision for sustainable development? Do you hope to see member states work towards some more coherent mechanism to coordinate sustainable development activities? Some people talk about Sustainable Development Council, for example. What are your expectations?
Well, firstly, the negotiations are going on as we speak, and they'll go on right up to the eve and maybe even during the high-level segment itself. So we can't be too precise about what will come out with only around 70 out of 259 paragraphs agreed right now. But the unifying vision has to be found around promoting human development within the boundaries of nature. That has been the formula which succeeded at Stockholm Conference 40 years ago. It's the formula that succeeded at the Earth Summit, and it's what needs to drive this one. If Rio is seen as an environmental conference, it won't succeed. It has to be the environment and its protection and conservation pursued at the same time as we enable human development in a world where so many hundreds of millions of people still live hungry and still live extremely poor, and not every child is in school. So we have to bring these things together. That's where the unifying vision is to be found. Now, I don't think there's disagreement about the what has to be done in terms of the transition to the green economy. For the developing countries, the big issue being raised is how? Where is the funding? How do we build the capacity? How do we get the skills transferred? How do we get the appropriate technology in place at a price we can afford? So a lot of focus in New York on the debate around implementation. Clearly, we're in a time when the traditional donor countries are by and large experiencing only sluggish, if any, growth at all, and so they're rather preoccupied with the immediate fiscal conditions their countries face. But we're not actually talking about tomorrow. We're talking about decades here. We're talking about a vision for the future, a transition to what we know is possible by way of advancing economic, social, and environmental issues together. And I hope that the leaders at Rio will rise to this bigger vision of what has to happen.
Even though the progress has been uneven, we do have big lessons from the Millennium Development Goals, and particularly that the MDGs can be drivers for sort of a collective policy and advocacy. Do you think that there is some likeliness of an agreement around a new set of, let's call them, sustainable development goals? I would like also to bring in the equitability element. Inequality is truly a global trend, in fact. Do you see some kind of likeliness around these set of goals?
I think the likelihood is that Rio Plus 20 will call for a process to define goals, and that then needs to feed into the discussion already underway on the post-2015 development framework. Because 2015 is when the Millennium Development Goals targets are time-bound for. So the issue is, well, what after 2015? What it's important not to lose is the human focus of the MDGs, the time-bound nature, the specificity, and the fact that they are very easily communicated. In my lifetime, I've seen so many sets of internationally agreed development goals promulgated. No one can remember any of them. They tend to fade into the ether because, unlike the MDGs, they were not specific, time-bound, and easy to communicate. And that means easy to sell to decision-makers. Now, the result of having those characteristics with the MDGs has been that development partners have written the MDGs into the strategies for official development assistance. So many developing countries have based their national development strategies around the MDGs and even added their own MDG in cases like Cambodia and Laos, dealing with the explosive legacy of war and the need to remove landmines and unexploded audiences. Mongolia added good governance as a ninth goal. People, countries have been very creative. So let's not lose these characteristics, but for sure, the next generation of goals will need to put more emphasis on human development within the boundaries of nature, because otherwise we destroy the very basis on which life on the planet depends.
In some emetics, there is a tendency to adopt lofty goals that don't always translate into the field. And you stress a lot about the implementation element. We have challenge of coordinations, of course, funding, as you mentioned, and capacities at all levels. Mm. What can Rio produce to address some of these more systemic challenges, especially if a set of new goals are, in fact, suggested to be adopted?
I think increasingly development these days is about two things. It's about building capacities, and that is capacities also to access the finance that is out there. If we look at the transition to the greener economy, a lot of the finance to make this possible will be private finance. And it is accessible if you have the capacities, the institutions, the strategies, the means of verifying, monitoring, reporting, etc. So a very critical development role is around supporting countries to develop those capacities to get into the game. That means that with the greener finance of the future, we don't want an outcome as with the clean development mechanism of the Kyoto Protocol, where almost all the money went to the fast growth emerging economies, which were large, and very, very little to the least developed. So building capacities, I put tremendous emphasis on. The second thing development is about these days is the exchange of ideas and best practice. We see in UNDP so many incredible things which are worthy of adoption, adaptation, and emulation. Take, for example, in the context of Rio, Ethiopia's low-carbon, climate-resilient, green economy strategy. Ethiopia is one of the poorest countries on Earth, but it is making a statement. It says, of course we want human development for our people. Our people's living standards have to radically improve. But we want to do this within the boundaries of the natural inheritance and endowment that we have. If Ethiopia can do that as a least developed country, anybody can do it. And they have shown strong leadership on it. So part of our job is to link people to brilliant ideas and strategies and show how it's possible for even the poorest countries on Earth to tread this road.
There's been a recent Bonn climate meeting, and we can probably safely say that it was a little disappointing. In fact, there is very little indication that we're progressing toward more agreements in the area of climate. Do you see this kind of renewed North-South accord as being unique to the climate issue, or do you think in some way will translate into dynamics that will stall negotiation in Rio plus 20 as well?
We have a bit of a roller coaster ride with multinational multilateral conferences and negotiations these days. In the time I've been here at the UN, I've seen a very successful MDG plus 10 summit based on knowledge sharing and determination to accelerate progress on the goals. I've seen a successful non-communicable diseases summit. I've seen a successful HIV/AIDS summit. But then we also saw Copenhagen, which didn't realise on the vision for the climate talks that Bali had set out. We saw an improvement in Cancun. We saw a knife-edge outcome to keep things going in Durban. And I think that this year, with respect to the COP in Qatar, it's best not to go backwards, but at least to be in a position to keep moving forward. So Rio Plus 20 comes in the context of all of this. I think if the emphasis is on it as a knowledge sharing, motivational, galvanizing meeting, if something along the lines of Agenda 21, which never had binding commitments in it, could be produced, we would all go away saying, look, we know what needs to be done. There's fantastic experience to share on how to do it. yes, developing countries do need more support to do it effectively and in a timely way. But let's look out decades here in terms of the transition and not be so consumed by the fiscal problems of the day that we don't see the bigger picture. So that's my hope. If Rio is treated as a UN conference which can mobilise and enthuse people, and not as some kind of treaty negotiation where every single word carries weight, then I think we could get through it in good shape.
Now, if I may follow up on this, do you think that the Rio could actually play a role in reinvigorating the UN framework on climate change process? Could also maybe have some kind of climate goal, let's say, at the end of the process?
I think a reasonable outcome from Rio will be positive for the climate talks and positive in at least holding the line on where we got to at Durban late last year. Whether any of the goals in the end will specifically tackle climate remains to be seen. They may be a little broader than that because the climate issues, while very, very pressing, are one of a subset of issues in the environmental realm, obviously with great economic and social implications. But a success at a major sustainable development conference undoubtedly will be helpful to pushing those climate talks forward.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with the Global Observatory, and good luck with your trip to Rio.
Thank you.